Our second scripture today comes from 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has given to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. So today's message, I'm kind of going to be bouncing all over the place. Typically, what I would like to do is to take a passage and dive down deep and pull out all the exegetical goodies. That's just a fancy way in seminary speak to them and say, do a really good study of it. But as I was praying and meditating on what the first message I could bring to you, I was caught when we were talking to the session. I was really impressed by the mission that this church that they have, which is growing God's presence. It's even on the front of your bulletin, growing God's presence. And as we entered into different conversations about that, and my family came out here to visit, and we started meeting everyone here, and we could really feel God's presence within the church. And we bounced around a lot of places. Just to give you a quick bio on us, we just came from Williamsburg, Virginia. Before that, we were in just south of Roswell, New Mexico. And before that, we were back in Williamsburg, Virginia. And we've been in Colorado, we've been in Connecticut, we've been in Italy, not in that order. Just things popping up in my head. But as we travel around, we always look for the best aspects of where we live. And it's kind of fun as you bounce around, but occasionally you want to be settled, you want to be anchored somewhere, and really diving into the community and family of the church. It's so as I'm meditating on God's presence, I really wanted to come to you my thoughts and how I have studied on this, prayed on this, and what God has revealed to me about this type of mission. If it's not apparent already, I'm a little nervous up here. So it's been like 7 months since I've been in the pulpit and actually given a sermon. And so I'll start off with a joke. How about that? Now, Jennifer teases me that I'm going to be really bad at dad jokes. And I know this, and my goal is to be the worst dad joke teller of all. Because I know they're corny, they're supposed to be corny, and that's what makes them funny. I'm going to spare you guys today, I'm not doing a bad joke, but that's just kind of how my sense of humor is. I like to be sarcastic and find weird observations, but this is one observation I've had. We've been traveling around in an RV, so we've got 4 people in a 34-foot-long RV for the past 7 months. Now, here's my observation. RVs are very similar to drivers. Wait, how's that? Well, if you've ever been to losing socks or random pieces of clothing. RV is very similar to that, in that it's a small space, yet things just magically disappear. A good example is, I have 10 shoes on. That's embarrassing for me right now, because I couldn't find my other black shoe. In a 34-foot RV, I can't find one shoe. That's my observational humor these days, is RV is what I got, I should have any things. There's even another part of my coffee pot that's missing. I don't know what it is. But it's what he's called.
So, I'm helping you, Daddy.
What's that?
I was helping you.
You were trying to help me, yes. Yeah, he's in the shoe bin. Have you checked here? So, back to God's presence. Now, I think that there is God's presence coming out as well. But as we look at this particular phrase, growing God's presence, I think there are two main questions that come up. And if this thing is not working quite well, just tell me. I hear a little bit of feedback. Is it me? Should I use this mic? You're good? Okay. Because I kind of move around. So in growing God's presence, there are two questions. First question is, what is God's presence? The second question is, how does it grow? Obvious logical questions, right? So when we look at what is God's presence, we have to look at what is our view and what is God's view. Because God is omnipresent. That's a big fancy word for saying he's everywhere all the time. He is God Almighty. You know, maker of the heavens and earth, Alpha and Omega, he's everywhere all the time. And it's not just that he's everywhere and you kind of oh, there it is. No, he is actively being everywhere. Now, probably the best illustration I found is, well, remember Jonah, right? Jonah the whale. In the story, God tells him to go to Nineveh. It's up here in Syria. And where does he go? Down to Tarshish. And not only that, he gets on a boat and tries to go even further. And even when he is in the belly of the whale, saying, God, I'm sorry. His prayer in the bottom of the sea, in the belly of the whale, reaches the Almighty. And he does. Puts him on the right path. Of course, I kind of envy Jonah a little bit. He had the shortest sermon with the best response ever. 40 days and you destroy it. That's it. Even said he repents. We can go to Jonah later on that illustration. Interesting. I had to do about 25 minutes. He just does a one-line sentence and gets a whole city to repent. That's amazing. But when we think about God's presence, you know, God is everywhere. You can't escape him. You can try to escape him, he's not going to let you. When we get into troubles in our lives, what is our first typical average general response? We like to retract. We might be ashamed of it, of the problem, might be afraid of the problem, so we retract into ourselves thinking we can fix it. You know, I'll try to figure this out myself. I don't need to bother anyone else with that. I'm ashamed to go to God with this. I'm going to retract into myself. And we isolate ourselves saying, yeah, everything's fine. You get the smile and nod, everything's fine. But then as you go through, you wonder, where is God? Why don't I feel him? And in those moments, all they have to do is turn, and there is Jesus. There's actually a really cool song out right now by Dolly Parton and Zach Williams. You should definitely search it a little bit later, called There Was Jesus. And it talks about how they can look back into their lives, all the different struggles they've gone through, and look back and say, yes, now I can see there was Jesus. And there's a popular poem called Footsteps. Most people know what that's about. There's two sets of footprints in the sand, and then there's one, and God was carrying you. Same type of idea. So God is next part of how does it grow? Okay, God is perfect. God is already omnipresent. His presence is everywhere. So, growing God's presence. That's a little tougher. So when we start looking at this of how are we growing God's presence, we have to take it from the perspective of we're really talking about our connection with God, our spiritual maturity, and the Holy Spirit working within our lives. You know how great God is? All the different things that have happened just this morning, a lot of that I didn't plan. A lot of it was already in motion and ready for this morning, and I'm coming in with this message, and God's just saying, look how cool this is, things are working together. Down in Sunday school, we were talking about the fruits of the Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is working within us to produce these fruits. And this is what we're talking about, growing the presence of God because the Holy Spirit is within us. And as I was sitting up here preparing for the sermon, and as I mentioned, I was nervous. I looked up at the stained glass in the back there. I'm not sure if you guys have taken much time to look at it, but there's an anchor over the top. Back when I was in the seminary, we did a class called CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education. And within that class, I went to a hospital and did an internship as a hospital chaplain. And you can just imagine what that may have been like. I worked 13 death cases in a very short amount of time. ER desk, ICU desk, a lot of things that I had not been exposed to previously. And one of the imagery that I kept in my mind was God is my anchor. And that's what it is. God is awesome. That was just a tangent, but one of the best phrases I've ever heard is ministry happens in, mine is one blank. Interruptions. That happens in interruptions. Everything. But that's the cool way God works, because God always makes the first move. And God's presence, you think back to the start of the Bible. What did God do? God created. God created the world. He was everywhere. His Spirit was over the waters. And then he made everything, and he made man and put him in the garden. And he was walking with humans in the garden. God's presence was right there. But he made it up. But even within that creation, humans were made in God's image. If you read the scripture closely, you'll realize that we are the only created beings made in the image of God. So God's presence was always the goal. God with us, always. But even when humanity fell and that connection was broken, God still didn't leave the people. As we go through the scriptures, he had a plan. James called him Abram, then being soon known as Abraham, making the Abraham a covenant, that he would grow a nation specifically for his purposes out of Abraham. And when that nation was grown and it was down in Egypt, and we took him to Egypt to save him, because it was the famine. But then when they were being oppressed, he pulled his people out of Egypt in a miraculous way, and he said, look what I have done for you. I am your God. Now you follow me. It wasn't, oh, you guys need to be good enough for me to come down there. Yeah, I see you're struggling, but no, you haven't done enough yet. No. He said, I've heard the suffering of my people, and I come down, and I have drawn you out of Egypt, taken you by the hand, led you out of Egypt to be my people. Now here's how you do it, and he gave it a covenant. He had Moses, the Mosaic covenant. Because he wanted to be with his people, God's presence. And he had them build the tabernacle, the place where the priests could become sanctified and cleansed of their sins in order to go into the Holy of Holies where God's presence is. If you were in the camp in Egypt as they're wandering through the desert, and the tabernacle was in the middle, you could see God because he was in the pillar of fire and smoke. You could always see God's presence in the midst of his people, because that's always his plan, to be with us. But he had to make a way for us to be cleansed in order to get to him. Because God is perfect. God has to deal with sin. But he wants to be with his children. He wants to be in the midst of us. So he created the law and the covenants so that Israel could be cleansed. But that wasn't good enough because we're sinful beings. We kept sinning and sinning. That's why the sacrificial system was set in place, that a sacrificial lamb could take the sins of the world, take the sins of that person at that particular time. But we kept sinning as human beings. God, he knew this. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the prophet Jeremiah says, "The heart is deceitful above all things that are beyond here." In our Hebrew, the NAS, the Bible is more deceitful. The heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Now, if you were to dive into the original language there, the Hebrew, then desperately sick, it is referring to a physical wounds or disease that you're going to have. God being in a great position wants you to. He says he's not going to leave us there. And we're going to read in Jeremiah 31, where he says, "I will put my law within them and write it on their hearts and minds." If you dive into this a little bit, the "and minds," it isn't in the text, but it's put in there because of the idea of what the Hebrew words are trying to bring out. Because an ancient Israelite had a much different idea of what heart and mind and soul and emotions and how all of that works than what we do. Our perspectives are different than ancient Israel. So when you look at the heart and you kind of break it down, it can be inner man, mind, will, heart, understanding. Innermost heart in the midst of the soul, the heart, your mind, knowledge, thinking, reflection, memory. Basically, God putting himself into the deepest parts of who we are. Change us to grow us, to become the new creation. As we know, this new covenant that God was talking about in Jesus Christ. So through Jesus Christ, and putting the law within us, is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So first and foremost, the growing of God's presence in our lives begins with Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24, we're justified by his grace as a gift to the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. He's cleansing us of our sins so that we may come before the Father. We must be born again. A little teaser for next week. We're going to dive into John 3 and see what that born again is really all about, because we're talking to Nicodemus. What does it say in Scripture about when there are two or three that are gathered? It will be there. He is going to be with us, in the midst of us, working through us. So as we grow together, We have a fellowship. Iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 27:17. And we learn from one another because as the body of Christ, we are equipped with unique gifts and perspectives. 1 Corinthians 12. And that's somewhat the fruits. So we go back. When we're gathering together as we're growing God's presence, that's for what purpose? Ephesians 4:11-13. So Christ himself gave the apostles and the prophets, evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and the knowledge of Son God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And also Jesus said to go and make disciples, Matthew 28, to go and make disciples, teaching them about Jesus. So we have this vertical connection of you to the Father being cleansed of your sins, becoming a new creation, having the Holy Spirit dwell within you, and then the horizontal connection of fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and then horizontal going even further because we have a community of believers going out and making disciples of the nations. And how they put in Acts, starting in your little hometown and spreading out and out. Growing God's presence. It's amazing. As we gather together and grow in spiritual truth, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are abiding in Jesus, John 15. And being used by God to accomplish his mission. A mission of reconciliation. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5. For what purpose? Where are we going with this? Yes, we are cleansed in our sins. We are coming together as a community. We are taking that message of reconciliation out to those around us. But where are we going with this? Is God's coming back? Jesus is coming back. Now, a little cool story Jennifer shared with me this week. She found an article, and it talks about the cloth that was laid over Jesus' face in the tomb. And how Scripture tells us that that cloth or napkin was folded neatly and placed aside. Now, back in ancient times, when a master was at a dinner table and he was finished with his meal, he balled it up, tossed it on the table. That's a signal to the servants, clean up, I'm done with that. But if you were together, fold it up, place it aside and wait. And tell the servant, I'm coming back. I'm not ready. If God's not He's coming back to usher in the new creations, the new heaven, the new earth, where sin will be washed away completely. Evil will be destroyed. He's already conquered death. Now he's coming back to conquer everything else. He's inaugurated this amazing salvation. And we are in salvation history, waiting for the return, waiting for God's come back. But always being prepared, because no one knows the time. Isn't it cool how you know from Genesis to Revelation long term? That's all God, that's not me. And he's coming back to us. But it all starts growing God's presence with accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because if you're not cleansed of your sins, you cannot come before the Father. God the Father is perfect. That's Romans 2. But he can't be around sin, so he has to abolish sin. He's got to take care of it. And in the sacrificial system he set up, the once-for-all sacrifice of the Lamb, Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, cleansing our souls, that's where it starts with us. Have you been born again? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's where the growing of God's presence starts. Now, I realize that this is a Presbyterian church and you guys probably don't do this a lot. But I want to do this. I would like everyone to bow their heads and close your eyes. And I pray, Lord, if there is someone here that has not accepted you as their personal Lord and Savior, you will touch their hearts now. You just have them pray, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior of my life. Jesus died for my sins. I repent of my sins and ask you to enter into my heart, make me a new creation, cleanse me of my sins, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit dwell within me. In Jesus' name, I pray. That simple, amazing prayer. Same one that Job said, I repent my sins even at the depths of the ocean. God heard. And God put him on the path he's supposed to be on. So as we move forward as a community, as a church family, let's keep in our minds what growing God's presence is, starting with our vertical connection. Have you connected with God the Father, God the Son, excuse me, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Are you, do you have that vertical connection? And then asking, what are my gifts, Lord? What path are you setting me on now so that we can go out into our community and preach the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I heard an interesting song this past week as I was preparing for the sermon, and it's one by a Cochran company called Church Take Me Back. It says, Lord, I want to go to church. I want to go to the place where they know me, where they have seen me through the hard times. I'm just wondering how many times does someone say, Lord, I want to go to church. Take me back to church. That's the community that we're trying to grow. Grow in God's presence. Be prayerful. God, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ who cleanses us of our sins. Lord, thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to continue to teach us and guide us and grow us. Lord, we just thank you so much for who you are and for that awesome job. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with us.